Family Stone. I don't think I have what it takes for that. Just the two of us.
How?
We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
You and I.
Whoa. Shout out.
Yes.
The bass. Oh, I'm really proud of every woman in this room who bravely hit the bass. You didn't try to go soprano to be different. You went, this is my range.
This and
I'm
is proud who I of am.
Yep. Welcome. Welcome to Respectfully. I'm Andrea Allen.
I'm Lizzie Cassidy. And our guest today, hilarious comedian, host of What a Time to Be Alive podcast. That's Give right. it up for Kath Barbadaro.
Hello.
Yes. So
Hi.
Happy to have you.
I said
you.
Your last name right.
You did.
Okay. I found out recently that I was dyslexic.
Oh, wow.
And I realized as I was saying it that I've never said your name out loud. And I was like, this could go bad.
I feel like, because a lot of times, like, you do stand-up shows and the host might not know.
Yeah.
And they'll ask, and I always tell them, but then I say, if you say it wrong, I don't care.
Right. Yeah. But I feel like a podcast, you want to.
Podcast is, they might go back and hear the name.
Yeah.
It's like, no one is remembering
no
my name.
No one's paying attention. Yeah. Actually, this is an interesting thing that just happened to me. I was like, so I went to Chicago a week ago. Shout out to the girlies who came to the shows in Chicago.
Hey,
love you down.
Thank
love
you.
But I booked my flight wrong 4 times. And then I had therapy and I was talking to my therapist about how frustrated I was that this kept happening to me and it always happens to me. And I said, I feel like I can't read numbers. And my therapist was like, you might want to look into, you might have like a learning disability.
There's like a name for this.
Yeah. Dyscalculia.
Dyscalculia.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, no, I was tested when I was a kid. I don't have a learning disability. And he was like, okay, but it really sounds like you're describing one perfectly.
Yeah.
And then I was on the phone with my mom later that day. And I was like, she'll never listen to this, but she would hate it if she did. I was on the phone with her and I was like, hey, my therapist said this crazy thing. He thinks that I might have a learning disability, but you guys had me tested. And like, I know I don't have a learning disability. And my mom goes, oh, no, you're dyslexic. And I was like, sorry, what's up? And she was like, well, we thought if you didn't know, it like wouldn't affect you as much.
Right, you'd be able to overcome it.
Yeah, she was like, we thought if we didn't tell you, you would just sort of figure it out. But if we did tell you, you would like lean on it too much. And I was like, so you're standing by this opinion and I dropped out of art school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and now I book my flights wrong for
you. And now I book my flights wrong. And you're mad about both those things.
Yeah.
Right.
But you haven't realized that maybe it's because I never learned how to read numbers.
This is bootstraps behavior that your mom got up to.
Yeah. And I like got extra time on tests, but they never told me why. Like, I didn't know
Such
why.
Such a weird psychological
it
experiment.
It was so weird. Anyway, so I recently learned, and then I asked my therapist what I could do, and he was like, you could get a tutor. And I was like, that's crazy. I think I'm just going to live like this. You know?
A little old for a numbers tutor.
Yeah, but yeah.
That is like, for dyslexia, it's not, they can't do anything it, really.
Yeah.
It's just like a thing you have to deal with.
Yeah, I think they can teach you ways of like reading and learning that are better for you, but it's like my learning days are over.
Yes.
I'm done.
I've learned everything I'm gonna learn
at this juncture. Who needs to read? It's all a clip.
It's
We're
all
fine.
A clip. There's audiobooks.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. Yeah. I'll be fine.
Especially numbers. I'm not doing math anymore.
I mean,
I'm done. No.
Yeah, but I will say I'm gonna have to get someone to look over my shoulder next time I book a flight.
That is kind of
it's just there's so many numbers on the screen. The flight has a number, there's a time, there's a date. It's too much.
That is true. Like the flight number, the time, the date, the seat number.
The seat number.
No. Tons of numbers.
It's just so many. And then there's like the airline or the airport name is not the name of the city.
Yeah.
Like Chicago, you're going to ORD. Okay. What the hell?
Yeah.
Put CHI.
Yes.
Put CHI.
It's CHI. My thing that always stresses me out that I actually have like a flight coming up where I did this is if you go internationally and sometimes domestically, depending on where you are, if your name on the ticket is not exactly the same.
Oh, this happens to me a lot.
Including middle name?
Yep.
No.
Why? I shouldn't
I gotta rock Maureen in front of everybody and God.
This happens to me a lot because I have two last names. I have two first names and two last names and no middle name. So my name doesn't fit on the ticket.
Yeah.
And what is that name?
And so then, don't worry about it. I'm not doing that for them. But so like every time my name doesn't match and it's like, no, I wrote it. It just doesn't fit on the boarding pass. So
there's
you think
not
it doesn't
be
match.
Another person with a cut off version of my
right. Yeah. Right. It's me. This happened to like I think Nate Bergazzi had a story about somebody booked his flight for him and they put like Nathan instead of Nathaniel or vice versa. And it's like, come on, man. You know it's me.
Google
and
me.
He's famous.
Yeah, he's famous.
I'm famous. Yeah. Come on.
Imagine having someone book your flights for you. That
that's
level
like all
of success,
I want.
A dream. Personal assistant.
That's literally like
you can be like kind of cunty too. Yeah, you pay her enough, it would be a she, her. That,
yes, of course. Yeah. Of course. Or
gay boy.
Hopefully a she they.
Yeah.
Yes.
A she they would get that. Oh my god! I never
get your flights booked.
Yeah. I would never have the wrong flight again if no. a she they was at the helm. Fuck.
A she they with like a clipboard.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. A she they who used to work in stage management. Oh my god! Please,
for putting it
if
out.
You're out there.
There was, and I hate to reference the world's worst show, but in Just Like That, in the last season, who is the person of color that they booked? The one
I didn't watch it.
I didn't either.
Fuck,
I'm
there's
sorry.
A there's an Indian woman. I can't believe I'm forgetting her name, but she's like the most redeemable. She's like the Samantha step in,
right?
Where she like has a business and isn't like, oh my god, does Aiden love me? And it's like, you're 70 years old. How is this still what we're talking about? But I love it. But she has a he they Indian guy who wears nail polish,
love it,
and
yeah.
is like, this new restaurant is hip and XYZ. I put you in at this time. Get this, and I'm like, oh.
The dream.
That is what Samantha needed. There's that episode where she hires an assistant who's just like a girly and like isn't good at it.
It's like on the phone.
Yes. She needed bitch. Like she needed an almost fully gay guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
85% gay.
Yeah.
Guy.
Full gay. Needed. He might also be on the phone.
It was I had, so my brother has like severe ADHD. I think he has kind of what you got going on, where like it's insane.
Thank you. Thank you for hitting severe that hard and then pointing to me and saying you have that also.
He's like one of these people where I'm like, God, how do you function? No, but you, when we talked about my brother's ADHD, you were like, I have that. And I'm like, it's shocking that you function as well as you
it's
do.
It's really hard.
Yeah. Like it's
you have to develop a lot of like systems.
Yes.
And it's hard to develop them because it's, you're doing it by yourself and it doesn't work with your brain.
It's not, the world is not built for people with this type of ADHD. But so my brother was like, they took him out of school for a while. They're doing a lot of testing. He had like a lot of problems with school. And so when I came around, they were like, whatever, she's fine.
Yeah.
But I am abhorrent at math. And I also have zero understanding of how time works and like all this stuff. And my husband's an engineer. So we'll do math stuff. And it like triggers me because it reminds me when I had a tutor and my dad was like, I don't know why you don't get this. And I'm like, well, that yelling is probably not going to create a positive reinforcement. And like, a direction like north, south, east, west. I don't like it's not, it will never make any sense to me. And I'm like, I think I also have this, but I would make up little like rhymes and songs to understand multiplication. I did all these like other weird things where I could use like language or sound.
Yeah.
And
you
I'm
did
like,
it in the way of like a humanities oriented person.
Yeah.
With, like,
right.
And I'm like, but my parents were just like, I can't have another one who needs all this. So you'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. And hey, I feel like that happens to girls a lot.
Of course.
Comedian Rachel McCartney has a great joke.
I was just thinking about
that. A great joke about this where she's like, when a boy can't focus on a book, you give him Adderall or something. And then she says, when a girl who looks like me can't focus on a book, you give her a harder book.
Shout out to Rachel McCartney.
She's such a good joke writer.
She's an incredible joke writer. If you don't know who Rachel McCartney is, give that a goog. She's so smart and funny.
And she's on Twitter now. Fucking getting all spicy on there. She's got like an angry energy. I don't think she would mind me saying that.
Yeah.
And so it's like front facing camera and she's like, you know what I, and I'm like, yeah.
Speaking of which, Kath is a great TikTok follow.
Thank you. I want
to
complain on there.
One of my favorite TikTok follows, truly.
Thank you.
You're so good at it.
It's so weird because like, I don't know why I'm on there.
Yeah, like totally.
I just have a compulsion to post. I have a poster's brain.
And
I've been
God.
On the internet too long. And so it's like, I don't post stand-up on there.
Right.
No, me neither.
Which I think is the best move.
Yeah.
Keep, save that.
Yes.
Yeah. Come see it.
Audience. Come see
you.
It.
Yeah.
It's, there are more jokes than the yelling on TikTok, but often about the same stuff.
Yeah, sure.
You
yeah.
know,
you're like working through the thoughts.
I got some bones to pick on there.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Yes. And if you like this podcast, you like when someone has bones. Yeah.
That's true.
You were saying something about like cancellation and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize this. I knew. So you've been doing your podcast probably maybe as long. I started podcasting with my old show kind of probably around the same time as you. Like I did that for about 10 years. Mm,
you were a little before me. I started in late 2016 okay. with one, 2017.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you were kind of on that internet and I didn't realize yeah. you made a reference to the Dirtbag Left. I didn't yeah. know you were a Dirtbag Left lady.
I'm on two of the first 100 episodes of Chapo Trap House.
Wow.
So I was back OG.
So yeah. And you were talking about how you got canceled by the Dirtbag Left and how like scarring it was. And we just had Ashley Gavin on who got canceled by the Dirtbag Left. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
How is it that was the liberal left?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. The slightly dem lib yeah. left. Yes. Yeah. And but what happened? Because I'm so curious
yeah,
about that.
So,
or if you don't want to put it back on the internet, you don't have to.
I'm happy to talk about at least some part of it. So like it was, this is actually, now I'm like setting it up weird, but the thing that they thought happened versus what actually happened yeah. was so different.
Yeah.
That,
which like, is usually what happens.
Of course. And it taught me that like whatever you're hearing about someone being canceled for something is like probably not
completely
right.
false.
Like,
yeah.
yeah.
So the thing, there were a few things leading up to it, but the main thing that happened that made a bunch of people really mad at me was during early COVID.
A tough time for everyone.
Also, I think part of the reason everyone got so psycho about it was because no one had anything else in their life.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I try to give people sort of the benefit of the doubt of, like, I don't think you would have been freaking out about this.
Oh, I'd bounty hunt every single one of them. But yeah. That's just my way of processing.
There are a few people who I can tell you when we're off air yeah. who, like, if I ever run into them, I'm going to be like, you owe me a fucking apology.
Yeah.
I'm taking off my earrings if that happens.
But, yeah, so it was, like, early COVID. And I was in the city. Both my roommates had left. I was in this apartment by myself. And it sucked. It sucked for everyone.
Yep. Yeah.
But my parents live about 6 hours away. And they really wanted me to go stay with them. And I was like, I really don't want to do that. I want to be around here for my friends, here yeah. for my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring COVID to you.
Yeah, that
you're
was
in your
same
60s.
With me. Yeah. Yeah, nope. Same.
Like, I also don't want to go back and live in a town where I know literally no one anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
It's my parents live in a New Hampshire, a town of like 30,000 people.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Be racist there?
Yeah.
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 It would have sucked. But they were like really putting the pressure on me to come home. And I was like, I'm not doing it. It's not safe. That's because I didn't want to say I don't want to.
Yeah,
yeah,
with yeah.
You. That was the great
the
parent so, excuse.
I didn't right. want to say I'll go insane.
Right.
Yeah. If we can't leave the house yeah. for
and
a
stuck
year,
with my parents. Yes. Yeah, as at the time 32-year-old.
Yes.
Like this is not what yeah. I want.
And they closed the borders to Canada, and boy was I like, sorry, can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So my parents came up with a plan that, as far as safety goes, I could not say no to.
Shit.
They had so what happened was. My mom's friend had this apartment that she would stay in because she worked in a different town than she lived in. So mm-hmm. sometimes she would stay overnight in this apartment she
yeah.
rented. So, or maybe it was like, maybe she owned it, but it was just like this little house in Keene, which is like a tiny town in New Hampshire. And it's like maybe 45 minutes away from where my parents live. Mm. So they're like, okay, that house is empty. Mm. That apartment is empty.
Damn it.
So what we're going to do is we're going to drive my mom and my dad each drove a car down to New York, threw me the keys out the window because it was like late
yeah.
March 2020.
God, your parents yeah. really love you, huh?
They were yeah. like, there. I'm very close with my parents. I was not live in their house for months
yes.
close, but like, so they threw the keys out the window. One of them got in the other car. They drove home.
Mm-hmm.
I put all my stuff and my cat in this car, drove to this house in Keene, and they were like, stay there for 2 weeks, make sure you don't have COVID. And then you can come
yeah.
stay with us. And so, like, from a safety perspective, I had
yeah,
no
they got
ability
your
to say no.
Yeah.
And I think now, like, I am older and would have been able, but, like, it's hard to say no to your parents.
It's really hard to yeah. say no to your parents.
Also, like, when people left the city, because they had, like, people who, like, had rich family in Connecticut, I was never mad.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Totally. Also, yeah, like there's less of us here now. That's cool.
Yeah, like I'm not like, you gotta be in an apartment in Long Island City by yourself.
Right.
Yes. And need psych meds desperately and yes. not have them.
How dare you?
And go fucking yeah. crazy and ruin yeah. some relationships. Everyone has to do that.
yeah.
You're I'm a like, coward if
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah. yeah. I'm like, go. Oh my it's, God.
Yeah. It's
be
like,
be rich.
Yeah.
There were like morgue trucks. Like it was, yeah. bad
it was heinous.
Here.
It was
really bad.
Yeah. It was so bad.
Yeah. Me and Lizzie were each other's like quarantines. And yeah. it was the worst thing we've ever
we both
witnessed.
Went insane.
Yeah.
I ended up in rehab at the end of it.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I ended up getting diagnosed with bipolar disorder. It was a tough time.
Oh,
it was
awful. You're a fellow bipolar yes, too.
Hey.
Cheers.
Yeah.
What's up? What a tough life.
But that also, like what you were saying about your brother, yeah. I'm the oldest and I'm the one in my family that everyone is always concerned about.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
my brother is like, thankfully, he's younger and thankfully he is like very even keeled and very chill. But also I'm like, did we force you to be that way?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
was such a
this
problem.
Is me. I'm the younger sibling that's secretly the oldest
Same,
sibling,
yeah.
even though I have a lot of problems.
Same,
yeah.
But so I think my parents were like, she might kill herself if mm-hmm. we don't if we don't come get her.
Oh, the amount of times I've done that math.
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's what happened. And I lived with them for 3 months and I did go insane and I regressed to teenagerdom and was like miserable. And my parents honestly were very gracious about how I was being like a total cunt and it was fine. Whatever. And then I came back to the city. But what this became on the internet was Kath's trust. Like there was always this thing that I was a trust fund.
I knew this is where it was going.
Because like I have been very open about the fact that I have been like, I don't have student loans. I'm very lucky. Like my parents do have money, but it's, I don't have a trust. It's like, it's normal money.
And by the way,
they drive a Subaru.
Like, I have a trust fund, by the way.
Tight.
And I would rather say that to people.
Exactly.
Than be like, I don't know. I'm just like doing stand. Like,
yes.
I don't want to pretend. It's worse to pretend.
Yes. It's worse to pretend.
There's a reason why I'm getting a matcha at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
And it's because I don't have a real job. Do I work? Yes. I built a podcasting studio. Yes. I've worked throughout my life. I'm not like a scumbag elitist in my attitude, but it's strange when people are like, what are you up to? And I'm like whining and napping.
Yeah.
Like it's weird to have it be like a mystery or whatever.
Yeah.
It's worse.
And I always felt like I want to be transparent about this, especially because I was in this like political circle of like, this is something that people think about a lot. I think about it a lot. Also, both my parents came from working class background. So I think they were very big in my childhood about like, this is your life is not like other people's lives. And like, you need to be aware that like, and also because I was a religious studies major in college and they sat me down and they were like, we want you to do this. We want you to be happy, but like, you won't live in this house if you're a religious studies major. But anyway, so there was always kind of this thing that I was like a trust fund.
And you're the girl and everyone hates the girl.
Mostly that everyone hates the girl.
Yeah.
And I also, part of my theory too is that I had a lot of followers. And so people who weren't interested in me, who didn't like me, were constantly being subjected to things I said. And so they're like, I'm sick of seeing her.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm waiting.
And I'm, waiting. Yeah. And so anyway, it became Kath has rich trust fund. Kath Barbadoro has fled the city to her family's second home, she's living in the vacation house or whatever. Which, like, again, my parents are not second home.
Yeah,
And if they were, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I also feel like this was the peak time of people giving a shit about stuff like that.
Yeah,
I feel like we have moved beyond that as a culture.
We're in a different spot.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Right, exactly. Yeah. People are like way chiller about that stuff. So it was sort of like the peak of that. But I really think the main thing was just that, like, there were people waiting because I was an annoying
girl. How did they catch wind of the
fact
that
I was transparent about it. Yeah. I was like, I feel really weird about leaving the city. Well, because I was like, I should have just let it lie, but I was feeling so conflicted about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was like, and I wanted people in New York who I was friends with to like know.
Yeah.
And I said it and then people were like, how dare you? You're giving people COVID and blah, blah, blah.
That's
killing
so
people.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people who was like, oh, I thought we were cool.
Yeah.
And now you're like
people that you know in person,
people who I had definitely met in person.
Yeah.
Not like close friends, but like people I'll tell you off.
Yeah.
There's someone that we all know who tweeted that my family owned slaves for some reason.
What?
It was weird. It was weird times.
Fucking Oh my God. Also, you get an ounce of notoriety, and I truly mean an ounce.
Yeah.
Like, I was part of like a niche podcast community, and I got COVID super early on. And once I'd like gotten into a better place, like recovery, it was also fine. It was like a flu, but I was scared out of my fucking mind. I'm already have major health anxiety. We're in the city crumbling apart. The disease that they're like, well, could kill you, couldn't kill you. Like, it was so fucked up.
Terrifying. Yeah.
And then when I was better, I posted a selfie of myself being like, we beat it, Joe, or whatever. And some woman went on one of these like forums and was like, I really think it's fucked up that you're using the fact that you had COVID to like get attention and blah, 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 blah. And then, and also like, do you even know you had COVID? Cut
people
to.
People hate women so much.
And this was a woman, I think, in her 40s. And I'm like, those bitches who hate women, the ones who are in like the first, the earlier waves of feminism, they hate women more than men sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
God, the shit people used to say about Monica Lewinsky.
I know.
That generation of
Pamela
women.
Pamela Anderson?
Dude.
Crazy.
My mom is like an original blazer feminist. Yeah. Like, she, I don't mean trailblazer, I mean wearing one.
Pantsuit
Nation. Hillary. Like, she is the COO of a company. Like, that kind of stay at home dad.
Lean in feminist,
which is, hey, shout out to that. But growing up, Monica Lewinsky was a swear word in my house. It was like, do not talk about that stupid bitch.
Oh my
and
God.
Like, that's how they all thought.
Yeah.
They were like, she ruined the Democratic Party for us.
Yes.
And it's like, well, she was like raped.
By being coerced by a man who's a pedophile.
Yeah,
how like, dare she?
But my mom was like such a...
I felt this way about Monica Lewinsky. Like, I was young, but
and
I was raised
to feel that way about her,
same.
You know? Like, yeah, it was such a... it's so gross. The, like, diehard, dem lib, fuck her, the Clintons rule thing.
I think, like, I guess it was just that all of those people were also victimized and were asked to just suck it up.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
I want to at least believe that to try to give them some...
I think that's mostly
but,
true.
Like, but... It's still like, I guess they're just externalizing whatever trauma they have onto.
Yeah. And I also think there's a thing of like someone like my mom who worked so hard. Like, my mom grew up very privileged. She's from a very privileged family, but she started her career life in a time when women did not have careers like that.
Yeah.
And it was really, really hard to be a woman in that space. And I think the idea of like, the optics of someone sucking dick for a job, fuck you.
Yeah.
I worked my ass off.
And that's what
you
people
know
are
going
to think of us now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like when I see like a girl doing stand-up who sucks at it, and I'm like, they already think we're not funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I think I'm not going to say my mom had that feeling because I don't know what her feelings were, but somebody like my mom, I could see having that feeling of like, they fucking said that about me and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fuck you for doing that. And it's like, well, she didn't like do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, kind of did that
kind of
to
done
me.
Yeah.
And like, I know that we don't have like the space or emotionality to talk about that.
And
but.
Then she was viscerally attacked on the world stage on a level that it's insane she didn't kill herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Pamela Anderson is that for me. I was always Team Pam, but I didn't really, I wasn't the age yet where I understood the severity of what happened to Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
And then I watched that, like, her husband. And I was like, oh, this woman should have, like, brought a gun to every man's house and blown their heads off.
Yeah.
And I would have been on her side.
Sorry, now I'm thinking about Jim and Pam.
Yeah,
Jim and, Jim and Pamela Anderson. Oh, my God, the boat they got married on.
Yeah. No.
But, she should have committed acts of terrorism.
Yes.
100%. Yes. And she would be right.
And she also was a victim of sexual assault as a young person, so she just kept getting, like, re-triggered and re-assaulted. And I'm just, she's like an idol of mine, because she's Canadian too, but she's like, the way that woman has held her head high and like discussed the contradiction, but also like it feeling okay about being like a sex symbol and also a feminist, you know what I mean? And like, and now she just like lives in the woods in Canada and like
and
wears no makeup to Yves Saint Laurent fucking runway shows.
And she's so good in Naked Gun too.
Yeah.
She was really good.
She
was really fantastic in it. And her and Liam Neeson are dating and like is the first like woman he's publicly dated since his wife died. And I like couldn't be happier for her.
Oh, I didn't know they were dating.
I could not be happier for her. It's like such a beautiful story of triumph to me. Of like
Tommy Lee, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, because we were just talking about, we experienced what, 0.000001% of that. And like, I was going insane. Oh, it was
and
awful.
I was going insane. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know how she does it.
I know.
So I donated blood plasma, like after, like once they started like opening up to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you had the antibodies, like, you know, I was like, hopefully it saves someone. I don't know. It's not anything to me and it could be a huge thing. And so they test you for antibodies and then I had them. So then I went back. I found the original post. This is how crazy and filled with rage I am. Because she was like, I didn't even give you him it. And I was like, well, guess what? Oh, yeah. Look what's going on here. And I wrote one of the meanest things I've ever said on the internet. I was like, who raised you, you fucking pig?
Yeah.
Like, I did something that was like, if I went back and looked at it, I'd be like, not your best moment.
Who raised you is a real
Who raised you is beautiful.
It was so sanctimonious. Yeah. And she like responded being like, I'm so embarrassed. And I'm like, I'm not even going to forgive you. It was so not great form on my part. But also,
I take issue in general too with people who are... Their outrage comes from a place of you're doing this for attention. It's like, yes.
Yeah.
It's okay to do things for attention.
Yes.
I'm posting on the internet for attention. Yes, of course I am.
Yeah.
That's literally the whole thing.
Our economy is run on attention.
This is like a very dark example of this, but it's like when a teenager is cutting themselves.
Yeah. I was just going to say,
people are like, they're doing it for attention. And it's like, yeah, it's a fucking cry for help.
Sounds like you should give them attention.
This is a person who is so desperate for someone to pay attention to them that they're hurting themselves. Of course it's for attention. They're not getting any.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like... I was always, my whole like teenage life, I was labeled as like an attention whore.
Yeah, me too.
And it's like, yeah, I'm not getting any.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I'm going through a hard time and I'm not getting any.
Right.
No, of course I'm going to be in a play.
I'm
a, you know?
I'm like, a plant
I need
begging
something.
For water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, then that's
nobody
like,
told me I'm dyslexic. Yeah. I need attention.
Yeah.
Really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when you're a teenager, the whole thing of being a teenager is feeling like no one sees you.
Yes.
So like, of course, as a teenager, you're like, see me, please. See me.
Was there during the canceling, how long did it last for?
It basically was just like a wave of people who like used to talk to me kind of pulling away from me.
That
so sucks. Like not people I was super close with, but people who I thought I had good relationships with. Just being like, oh, I like you don't fuck with me anymore.
Yeah.
And I think like it wasn't people who were super close to me, but it was people who like I respected. And it also, I think, made a bigger impact because I was alone at my parents' house.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
And my only social interaction was going online and having people be mean to me.
Yeah.
So like it was just a perfect storm of like probably why I am still like mad
a little
about
trepidation.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 years later. But yeah, so it's like it didn't really affect my like actual relationships, but I was like, oh, I thought we were all kind of like in this together in a way that we're not. But I have many theories. Some of them really mean about why. I think a lot of those people really wish they were comedians and were jealous.
I totally agree.
Because at that point, I'd been a comedian for 10 years already. I was like, and I think they're just like, and they were men, and they really wanted to be comics, and they weren't, and they wanted comics to think they were funny, and that was their whole, and so they were like,
Dirtbag Left is so, men who love comedy and Dirtbag Left are so obsessed. If they could all, like, suck off Nick Mullen, they would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So they feel I feel like that particular group wants to be, like, in on it so badly, and you're a girl who's in on it, and they're like, she's just a stupid. They just have to.
She
have
must have
one
a trust
girl.
Fund.
Yeah,
right.
How else
could she have possibly done it?
Yeah.
So.
And it's also like if someone did buy their way and I'm not saying you did, but like if someone did, don't you want them to say that?
Right. Yeah.
Like, well, it's so refreshing to me when a comedian who has very, very wealthy parents is like, I have very, very wealthy parents.
Yeah.
It's like, because we know, like, the people who are inside it know that. Hey, you've never had a day job.
Right.
Like
they can do the math. We've been to each other's apartments we know.
Right.
Yeah.
We know that working. Like, you set up a tour before you had any followers? It sounds expensive.
Yeah.
Like we and you know the kind of tour I'm talking about, whatever. But like I just saw a clip of comedian Gianmarco Cerezzi was on a podcast where
oh, I love this.
He was talking about what it takes to have the social media presence that he has now. And he said that he has $20,000 of overhead a month.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, because you are the guy that every manager I've met with has been like, why aren't you him?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, I don't have 20. Like, and he's like now at a point where he's making that. He's not like, that's not like a gift that has been given to him. But
and hardworking. I think that's the
but
piece.
But he's been very transparent about having wealthy family and like other comedians have as well. And it's like that transparency is so important to our industry, because they literally are sending me his Instagram profile to be like, why aren't you this guy?
Also crazy to be like, why aren't you this cis white guy?
Right. Yeah. But, but like, and you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm more, if we don't get mad at people for saying that, then they can say it.
Yeah.
And then regular people have more of a threshold to enter the arts.
Yeah.
Because we can be like, hey, oh, you don't have the thing that person has? Okay, well then we're going to give you grace in these areas.
Right.
You know, like, we're going to give you grace that you have to work a day job so you have less time. You can't start a podcast or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, it would be better for all of us if we could just talk about it. So stop getting on people's dick when they finally say it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like as long as you're, like, the thing I always think about is, like, I probably wouldn't have been a comedian if I had student loan debt.
Yeah, 100%.
Because, like, I would have had to get, I was working shitty jobs that didn't require a lot of me because I didn't have debt repayments. And so, like, I had more time to, like, I was working the types of jobs where, like, if you oversleep and it's just like, well, I guess I'm making less today or whatever. And so I could go to open mics late at night. Like, you can't do that if you got certain work to do and, like, that kind of thing. But, well, the other thing about the manager shit is, like, why aren't you this? Your job is to find me and make me that.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That used to be your job.
Oh, I need more followers. You know how I'd get them? If I was on Fallon. Right. Okay. Like, they would follow me if I was on there. And I know that that's not for me because I'm a dirty bird, but I'm just saying.
I know.
You get me on a fucking TV show, the followers will come. But it's become this very predatory thing. That's like, you have an audience? It's ours now.
Right.
Yeah.
Get
in
here. 10% of the revenue from your audience.
Yes, like, 100%.
Your thing was you were supposed to go to shows with six people at them and find the funniest
person. They're all snake oil salesman.
Yeah, unless they want to represent me, and then I think they're cool.
Of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
absolutely.
Please God.
And hi.
Yes.
And I am taking meetings.
Yes.
They're not offering them, but I would take one. I don't have anything to do.
No, I'm glad that you're back on TikTok that you've moved to TikTok because I love the takes.
Yes.
I love them. And there was one of yours, and I want you to retrot out your take.
Sure.
Necessarily. But me and Lizzie were really, I saw Lizzie in the comment section also, and I was like, fucking in there. And it was like, and I saw that you got a fair amount of blowback from this, was that like people using default, very feminine, queer coded language with women is
girly
like,
pop.
Is a bit presumptuous and not necessarily always welcomed. And there's like this weird, if you push back on it or kind of like standoffish towards it, not even standoffish, just like not reciprocating, like, then you're like a misogynist or you're like anti-gay or something.
You like don't respect femininity or something. And it's
or
like,
you're policing women's language.
Oh, yeah,
Fuck you. Shut up. Fuck you.
That was like a thing that was really wild to me about that. So it was basically, I was just like, that language puts me on my back foot. It doesn't make me feel comfortable when it's being used toward me from a stranger.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you're initiating me into a club. I don't feel like we're at a sleepover.
Yeah.
You're not like expressing safety to me.
Yeah.
It feels, number one, manipulative, and number two, like you're not really seeing me because I'm not really that kind of person.
Yeah, I would never girly pop you.
I'm not a girly pop.
Right.
And like, it's fine. I love a girly pop, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm giving. So if you're talking to me that way, I'm like, this isn't about me at all.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like you're relating to me authentically. And so, and I was talking about it in the sense of like, I don't feel like it matches with my gender expression. And I feel like people, there's a certain type of person. I don't mean to say like trans people have it unbelievably worse to the point where you can't even compare, like especially right now. So I'm not trying to say that they have it easier, but I do think there is a type of person who is very, wants to really respect trans people's gender expression, which they should. But if you're not trans, they're like, you have no gender. Like, the way you express right. your gender yeah. is there's no nuance to it.
Or you've never thought about it.
Right. Or you've never thought about it. Or, like, you, it, like, if you were trans, then this would be a valid argument. But because you're not, it's yeah. not a valid argument.
Yeah.
And, again, that is a small percentage of people, and transphobia is a much, like,
monstrous.
So much yeah. worse, it's, like, not even a, yeah. an appropriate comparison. But I was getting some of that, and it was also interesting that people were, like, you're policing my gender expression by not allowing me to call you girly pop.
Yes.
And I was like, that's crazy.
That's
dripping
crazy.
With irony.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Do you understand what expressing gender is?
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's not your, so like misgendering people is your,
was
is
your gender expression?
Like,
yeah.
It was so wild, but yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. My gender is condescending woman.
Yeah.
Right. Or just like, I don't know. I get, it just seems very inauthentic to me, this idea of like, all women need to act like we're all at a sleepover together.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm 37 years
right.
old. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I honestly have felt 37 years old for like 15 years.
I do see
years.
That yeah. for you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, yeah. I'm not, I don't really feel girl.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not girl.
Yeah.
It's fine to be girl.
You're yeah. adult woman.
I am an adult woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're treating me like a girl, I feel a little demeaned. Not because femininity
right.
is demeaning,
yeah.
but because literally being a child is different than being
yeah.
an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, there's also this angle of it where I kind of learned this. I'm like a big huggy person when I first meet people. I'm also very oversharey and like I have to learn to tone it down throughout the years because, and once I know that someone likes that, I'll be very affectionate with them. But actually, friend of the pod, great
yeah.
comedian.
Yeah.
I saw someone hugging him and I just saw his face like freeze up. And afterwards, he was like kind of talking to me about it. And because I hugged every time I saw him, and he was like, it just makes me so uncomfortable. You know, I'm a victim of sexual assault. Like physical
yeah.
safety around my body is very important to me. And I was like, oh, I want to be very affectionate with everyone because that's how I operate. And I can't understand how that would be threatening. But to this person, it's threatening.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like, can I hug you when I meet people? And I'm like, I'm not insulted that you don't want to be intimate with me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like check in if you like this type of physical contact. And like, you know, I'm like, are we really being like, you're not in community if you can't accept physical? He's a fucking sexual
yeah.
assault victim.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about this girly pop. I must be girly pop. We're all girlies. We're all besties. It's very like, if you're not in this club with us, you're a piece of shit misogynist. And it's like, you're being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I just find like, being asked to behave that way stressful because it's not, it's inauthentic to me. And it, yeah, it like produces this like anxiety in me. But the hug thing is so interesting because I do feel like a lot of times people think, I want to treat people the way I want to be treated. And it's like, no, you treat people the way they want to
yes,
be treated.
Yes.
There's a big difference between that. And the thing about Dylan reminded me, I have this friend in Austin. Her name's Lulu. She's like such a gregarious,
yeah.
warm person. She's
yeah.
really extroverted. She's like your friend right away.
Yeah.
Really kind. And I remember one time I was like somewhere with her and someone we knew came up and went for a hug and she just like very kindly went, oh, I don't hug. And I was just
yeah.
like, you are my hero.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love a
yeah.
hug, but like watching that happen,
yeah.
I was just like, that is so cool.
Yeah. I don't love a hug.
Yeah.
I'm a person who doesn't love a hug. I don't want to hug you if I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel uncomfortable. And I don't like being touched a lot. And whenever I see somebody politely decline a hug, it like full body chills.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
You are an incredible person. And I've done it a few times, but it sort of reminds me of the point you were making where I'm so much more comfortable turning down a hug from a man.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because when it's a woman, I'm like, I don't want to like reject her warmth
yeah.
or like
right.
make her feel weird. And this
yeah.
a man, I'm like, well, I can point out the fact that you shook every guy's hand and then tried to hug me,
yeah.
and I'm right.
Yeah.
I know I'm right. But when a woman is hugging everybody and then she hugs me, I feel less right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel less righteous in that opinion. And I'm like, no, I do also not want you to hug me, but I feel weird saying that because
yeah.
now I'm like—
Now you're against the sister.
Yeah.
Yes, and I've
yeah.
already been accused of being like a guy's girl bully, which I'm not. So I don't want to do anything that makes people feel like I'm behaving that way, but it's like, yeah. I just don't want you to touch my hair. Like, yeah. I just don't. Yeah. I just really don't, because I don't know you. And I feel so, as soon as you touch me, my whole body freezes and I feel so weird.
Yeah.
And there's no way for me to tell you that without hurting your feelings. Right. But it is true.
It feels like a rejection, even though it has nothing to do with that.
It has nothing to do with you. It actually is because I know nothing about you.
Right.
Like, it couldn't possibly be a reflection on your character because I do not know what it is. Yeah. You know? And like, I'll hug my friends, but it's like, I don't want it. Yeah. I just don't want you to touch me.
I'll throw you a hug like once a year when I'm like, she does need it.
Yeah, and but it's also, it's a quickie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll both be like, I love you. Okay, bye.
Okay, see ya. Bye.
The guys girl thing is interesting. I wonder what you guys think about that, because like doing stand up.
Yes.
You just know more men than
you just
women.
Know more men. Yeah. I'm doing a joke about this right now about how like it's optically bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But these are my peers.
Yeah.
This is who I'm around. Like in the joke, I'm like, look at this lineup.
Right.
There's
right.
eight guys and me.
Yeah.
That's who I'm around. That's who I hang out with. I want to be friends with women more than I want to be friends with men. But the men, they're really easy for me to become friends with because they're accessible and they're here. You know?
Yeah. I feel like my like closest friendships have always been with women, but I've always had more male friends.
Same.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, there's such a, I feel so automatically defensive of that. Again, like, is this, I remember I was talking to my therapist about it once where I was like,
me too.
Am I like, is there some, do I have some weird thing about women, or like, is there internalized misogyny I'm dealing with? And she was just like, you might just get along with men.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That is fine. Yes. That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
I do have weird shit with women because men have been more, how do I say this?
I think all women have weird shit with women.
Yeah, of course. So like, of course. I think all people have weird shit with women.
Yeah.
I think we're all raised to have weird shit with women.
Totally.
But
episode title, weird shit with women.
In my life, men have been worse to me than women have, but women have been bad to me more often, if that makes sense. Or in my early life, not now.
Sure.
But I went to an all-girls school.
You find I'm so mean to you this whole time.
She hits me. Like, men have been, like, violent and abusive towards me. That is worse. But women were, like, every day kind of shitty to me.
Yeah.
So, like,
and they're your friends.
And they're my friends. Doing it in a way that you can't call it.
Yeah. And you can't say anything.
Serpents.
Yes. And it's like...
witches.
It was just, like, a quantity
kind of understanding
thing.
That allegation.
Yeah. And it made me, for a little while, it made me distrusting of women. In a way that I wasn't even really conscious of.
Sure.
I wasn't like doing things to avoid friendships with women or anything like that. But there was a piece of me where like I was more comfortable walking into a room full of platonic male friends that I knew felt that way about me than I was walking into a room full of women. I was scared walking into a room full of women.
Yeah.
And I had to figure that out by myself because you can't say it. You like can't talk about it. You can't be like, women have been mean to me and whatever. Like, and I get that because I'm a woman who people have thought I was being mean when I was anxious or whatever. Like,
same.
I get all of this, but it's like, you going, guys, girl, you suck, is not bringing me in to the fold.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean? It's actually further alienating me to go hang out with the boys that aren't saying that to me. Like, when you see, I am all for clowning on a full-blown pick-me girl. Like, they suck, and they're, like, part of the evil structures, whatever.
Yeah.
But when it's just somebody who's friends with guys, it's actually way more helpful to reach a hand out to her.
Yeah.
Because she's probably like yearning for female friendship.
Yeah. She like needs to have a conversation about emotions.
There's
like,
so
help
like,
her.
And you're like, this outfit, huh?
Right.
Yeah. There's so many times there's been women in my life who are like perimeter, like friends. Like it'll be like.
Yeah, same.
It'll be like a guy I'm dating, his friend's girlfriend or something like that. Whatever. It'll be like something that like we're not close, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll see the way that this woman behaves and it'll be like sort of like pick me whatever behavior. And my first instinct is always like, oh, she doesn't have good girlfriends.
Yeah.
Or she's trying to get accepted in this group and just not doing a good job.
Yeah,
maybe.
But I mean, even like when she's outside of the group, like, oh, she doesn't have girls in her life who are saying like, hey, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
We like you.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't for a long time.
Yeah.
And like whenever I see a woman I don't really know who's dating a horrible, horrible guy, I'm like, oh, fuck, she doesn't have good girlfriends.
Because
if that was my friend, I'd be like, you need to dump that fucking loser. He sucks.
Yeah.
And I can tell that no one has ever said that to her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or she'll say stuff like, I'm such an idiot. She'll like, often people who do like, I'm such an idiot, or like, I don't always set like those kind of like after they say something, they take it back immediately. I'll just be like, you're not an idiot. That was a good point. Like,
yeah.
No one is even saying, everyone's just being like, this insecure, annoying girl. And yeah. I'm like, okay, but like if you just affirm her, she'll stop. Doing the insecure reflex.
It's like the for attention thing.
Yeah.
It's like she needs reassurance.
Yeah. And it, she will be so happy because I used to apologize a lot when I was younger. Like I was telling someone that I was definitely guys, girl coded-esque when I was a little younger. I was always like feminist and love strong women. I wasn't like Pearl.
Yeah.
But I was blonde. I wore Uggs. I went to a prep school. And like this girl was like, I can't imagine that. And like, no, you weren't. And I'm like, I was.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of myself for all the work that I've done over the years to not be that. The person was very insecure. That person was very sad. I think it's good to be like, I was that. I'm not embarrassed that I was that. I know why I was that. And then I like deprogrammed myself.
Right.
Yeah.
I would rather not be like, I was always cool. I was actually always cool.
Yeah.
I was,
it's the trust fund thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I transparent.
Was, I was the girl who was like desperately in love with all her boyfriends. And then they like would give them advice and the girls they were dating while like secretly crying about how it wasn't me. Like I need people to be like, hey, if you think it's cool that I have a stable relationship with a man who respects me. No, I wasn't that. You know, it's much more helpful to be
you
like,
can learn.
Like we didn't just get here because I've always been like the girl who doesn't take shit. In fact, I was the woman who took shit so hard that something just snapped.
I was full. I was so full of shit. I popped.
My eyes started blinking at different times, and I was like, I have to go to therapy and stop this, or I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah. I had so much shit shoved down my throat that it was coming out my nose, and I was like, okay, let's figure this out.
Yes.
And it's like this isn't some like. Leftists have to reach across the aisle. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
We're not talking about Republicans. We're not talking about bigots. I'm saying when a girl's annoying, maybe give her a little grace and a little warmth. Yeah. If a girl's being a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
That's a good lesson. I'm curious what you guys think about this as people in comedy around dudes. Because like I think a problem I sometimes have with women, like socializing with women who aren't comics, is that I'm used to being around all these fucking loud guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm very like, I will elbow my way into a conversation.
100%.
I will like take up as much space as I want. And a lot of women just aren't socialized that way. And so they're a little more reserved. And I'm really bad at making room for someone who like needs room.
Yeah.
And I think that like the way the girly pop shit puts me on my back foot, I think that puts a lot of women on their back foot.
Yeah.
And I like don't know what to do about it. I'm just really bad at like, if someone's sort of on the edge of a conversation and they're not taking the initiative to get, I'm like really bad at being like,
This is, nothing could relate to me more. This is so, the
and
amount
I'm
of
the
times.
The opposite of this, almost to a fault.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
The amount of times I've been in a conversation and I can feel like a burning sensation, a woman quietly standing next to me, not participating. And the whole time my brain is going, just ask her a question. Just think of a question to ask her. Just ask her a question. Just ask. And I can't think of a question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, all I want to do is invite her into this conversation.
But that's just not how you guys are. Continue. But I'm like, don't feel guilty about this.
No, but it's like, but I want her
to feel
comfortable.
Right. It's a good thing to like work on.
Yeah.
But it is something that I feel like being around a bunch of loud guys for 15 years has like hurt me socially.
100%. I also think like one of the main things I try to do in these situations is to just like whatever thing I'm about to say next, instead of addressing the group, I'll look at her and say it.
Yeah, smart.
Because I feel like that's sort of a social signal of like, and now your turn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think some people, not just women, but it happens to women a lot, need to feel invited in to the conversation.
That's what it is. They just need to be invited in and
like a vampire.
Yes.
Like a vampire. Women are like vampires.
They're like witches. They're like vampires.
And that's why we should burn them.
Yes. And they're so emotional.
Yeah. But yeah, I just am like, I'm not, I think, and like for a while, I think I was just like, girl, stand up.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
I would get like annoyed.
Same.
There is
same.
That, yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, you need me to like give you permission. Like I would get like annoyed about it that
resentful,
they weren't more
a little
like,
bit, yeah.
And now I'm just like, no, this is, you're the weird one for not being like this. Yes. This is what the world tells women they have to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you can't expect them to just do
and
it.
I've been wearing a shock collar for 10 years, being around comedy boys right. who are like, who look at me and are like, why haven't you said anything?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I was scared.
Come
I was
on
scared
my
in a way,
tits.
I was scared in a way that you'll never understand. Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Well, absolutely.
I made a decision, I would say, like probably around COVID. So before COVID, I dumped all my high school girlfriends because I went on a trip with them, and one of them was just so mean to me all the time.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, and this was like once I had been in the therapy, self-esteem building world for a while, to the point that I was like, oh, I can't like be friends with people who treat me this way.
Yeah.
Like as I've learned enough at this point, I'm like, this has got to go. Mm. Like before when I was in high school, again, I was like the goofy friend who like no guy wanted to date, but I was funny, whatever.
Oh,
but
same. I didn't get any romantic attention until I was probably 22.
Yeah.
I was just like on an island.
18, 19, came to New York. I was like, no one knows me. Time to have sex.
Yes. I got it when I was a teenager, but only from guys who were 22.
Right, 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 right.
So I in many ways was 22 to them because they told their friends I was. So.
And we got to kill. We got to get Pamela Anderson to kill them as well.
Yes. Yeah, I hope you're doing well with your ska band. Stupid fuck.
Roasted. But anyway. So I was like, I gotta let go. If I stand up to and I'm honest about the way this person behaves to the group, there is a pretty good chance that I'm gonna get ostracized from this whole group. Because mm-hmm. she like ran the show.
Every girl group has a ringleader.
Yeah. And there was a little flying monkeys energy to it. And I was also like, she's mean to you also.
Right.
Yeah.
And but I also understand like to them, her meanness was maybe more complicated to them, or they are giving more grace to it. And it was worth it for the other parts of the relationship that they had, which is fine, but it wasn't worth it for me. And her and I had this weirdly toxic, like we're best friends, but she's so mean to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't.
Canonic girl friendship, yeah, by the way.
I'm like, I can't do that anymore. So I broke up with like, I had the like, we've been friends since high school. We go on trips together.
Yeah.
I had this like girl friendship group that like, to me felt like a really loving thing in your life to be like, I've kept long-term friendships. Yeah. That means I'm a loyal person that can have these friendships, and it speaks positively about me and my character. And people reinforce this for sure. Like, oh, these girls have been friends forever. Like, it's almost like summer camp. We met at camp.
I met my best friend at summer camp.
100%. And I love that.
It's one. It's one.
Yeah, and one is different.
One is different.
There's not a big group of
One of my favorite people in the world is the person that I like live 10 blocks from when I grew up. She's still a fucking smart, sick, one of the funniest people. Like, I'll love her forever. But I feel like there's this like premium placed on like girlfriends, bachelorette party,
ride or die,
ride or die.
When we were
bridesmaid.
Teens.
Yeah.
There's like a thing where people are like the idea of like, well, you'd be my bridesmaid.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's like, so it's kind of like when you estrange yourself from your family. To estrange yourself from the origin girl group is a big move.
Yeah.
And people are like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, you're like kind of a bitch, or like
you're ungrateful.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. There is that where it's like, why can't you just like be less sensitive? I'm like, one of my things was like, okay, I'm like, I wrote a long letter. I tried to get my husband to read it, and he was like, I simply can't.
I read it.
Yeah, she read it.
Nice. Yeah.
But I really was like, if I'm too sensitive and she's less sensitive, then we are not meant to be friends.
Yeah.
It's not like
compatible.
Yeah. And like the subtext was like, if she's abusive and I don't want to be abused anymore, we're not, but fine.
Yeah.
We'll go with this whole too sensitive narrative. Also, respectfully, no one's too sensitive. You just want to be fucked up to them. But I digress. But I was like, okay, now I don't have, and I'm like, I've outgrown them by virtue of like the city that I live in and how my life is now. Like that was part of it too. Like I'm not better than them. It's just my life and people that
different.
I so different. And so then I was like, I don't have girlfriends.
Mm.
And I have comedy girlfriends. You know, I have besties, you know, Lizzie. Like I have women in my life, but I'm like, I don't have female friends who are not involved in stand-up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I do, me personally, need that to be stable. And I need, like, I was like, I think I need a more well-rounded life. Like, COVID really was like, your life is very singularly focused.
Yeah.
And if one person goes out the window, you kind of, like, have no one in a way. And so I tried to, like, build non-comedy female friends. And it felt like dating again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most, like, electric in a bad way I ever feel is when I, like, meet a girl mm-hmm. and we're, like, maybe going to become friends. Yeah. And then I have to, like, text her and ask if she wants to hang out alone.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so fucked up.
Yeah. It is like going on a date.
Yeah. 100%. And, like, without the group, do you want to just maybe come over? And it's like, for what?
Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Like, boys, the one thing I'm so jealous of that boys have is the game.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to come over and watch the game?
Yeah.
And it's like, with women, it's like, do you want to come just be at my house for like a little while?
Do you want to talk about
also her? Have a try? I guess this isn't all dudes are like, women play video games too, but a lot of guys I know, they have the trial run of, we're going to play video games together in our own house.
Yes.
And it's basically like talking on the phone, but
it is
not,
like talking on the phone.
Yeah. But you, they don't have to be like, do you want to just hang out on the phone? Like,
calling a girl for the first time just to talk.
So exciting.
I need a tragedy to happen in her life to make that first move.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need her to at least go through a breakup so I can be like, hey, I just called to see how you were doing. But really, actually, I haven't left my house in 2 days and I just want to talk to someone.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so scary.
It's so scary, but we do it.
We do it.
We gotta do it.
Yeah, and I also, the women in my life, a lot of them are like, have interesting careers that I want to know about, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, I need other people who have different lives than me.
Yes.
So I can be like, oh, right, there's a whole world.
Yeah.
That's why I like actually really like having a day job.
Because
I meet, I have the luxury of having a day job that isn't like crazy demanding or anything. Mm-hmm. So I can like still, I wouldn't like that, but like I just meet people who do other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you said, I feel like COVID, there were two paths that comedians went on with
yes.
COVID, where they were like, oh, it turns out if I don't have stand up in my life, I might kill myself.
Yep.
And if and I don't do me. It every like few days, I feel crazy.
Yep.
And then I think there were other people who were like, I actually don't need this as much as I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm a little in the second group in the sense of it didn't make me want to quit, but I was like, I need other stuff in my life too.
Yeah.
And also this is such a hard thing. The fact that I don't die without it is like, maybe I shouldn't put all of my effort in it because like, it really is something that if you're gonna do it for 100% of your time, it should be something that if you don't do it, you'll die because it's so hard.
Yeah, it's your vocation. It's so hard. Yeah.
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 The lifestyle is also hard on you as you age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I am a if I don't do this, I'll die person. Mm-hmm. And it's a horrible thing to need to do.
Yes.
It's tough.
I had a couple of rough shows recently. Like it was like a 4-show weekend and they weren't bad, but they were work and hard.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to somebody, like I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And someone was like, oh my God, I don't know. How, like I always feel so energized when I get off stage. And I was like, well, you did 10 minutes and I did 45.
Yeah. 45 is very different.
Yeah. But I was like, well, I'm not like, I'm not energized. What I mean is, and I said this to the person, I was like, I need to talk to someone who isn't an audience.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like the thing that and it's so weird that it took me this long to realize, but it's like an audience is not a person.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It is actually a thing that your lizard brain is programmed to be afraid of. It is a, it's a mob.
Yeah.
It's a mob.
I need to not convince a mob to like me for like a day.
Yeah.
Because that's so scary and hard.
Yeah.
Like
it's also like not the way you relate to an audience. It like the best thing about stand-up and when it's going well is like, you feel seen.
Yes.
You feel connected in this like really elemental way to an audience. But ultimately, stand-up is a form of manipulation and you're not in dialogue.
Yeah.
The audience, it is a monologue.
Yeah.
And you are sort of conducting the audience to have certain reactions. And it is two-way energetically. But it's not two-way in the sense of calling your girlfriend.
Yes.
Talking to someone is different than talking to an audience.
They're 100%.
And like if you do one all the time, you can forget.
Makes you it makes you a weird person.
For sure.
You're performing for everyone that you talk to.
You can tell when someone's like been on the road too long. Yeah. You talk to them and it's like, or like take a break.
Even like we were talking about before, when I first started dating my boyfriend, I like was meeting his friends who are obviously not comedians. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't talked to a person who's not a comedian in 7 years.
Yeah.
And I like forgot how normal people relate to each other. And it's like, not only have I only been talking to comedians, I've been talking to audiences.
Yeah.
And like, this is not an audience. This is a group of
people
audiences are made up of people, but they aren't people. You know what I mean? Like, an audience is not a person.
They become an organ almost.
Yeah.
They're a unified thing to you as a performer.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Well, I think when I was younger, when I was doing stand up, where I was having a great deal of personal issues, which I still have personal issues, baby.
Sure.
But it was a lot of like, venting my emotional problems to a group of people because I didn't have anyone
catharsis.
To talk to.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I started comedy, I moved to Austin because I wanted to do comedy and I did not know a single person there.
Yeah.
And I didn't, when I moved there at first, I didn't have a job. So like all I did was say my thoughts on stage because I had no one else to say.
Yeah. It became a you know, when people are like, comedy is my therapy and you're like, it shouldn't.
It should be entertaining.
People paid to be here.
Yeah. So I was
your therapist doesn't pay you to show up.
So I was definitely doing a little bit of that. And then as I worked through some of my stuff and became more stable, I was like, oh no, comedy's your job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's also something you love to do. And there's certainly a catharsis and like, there is a built-in like being understood and being like
there are rewards beyond money to it.
Yeah,
but it is a job
for sure. And I was like, you need to view it that way.
It's a job and an art at the same time.
Yeah,
and sometimes you're being an artist and sometimes you're doing your job.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Sister. Like, fuck, that reminded me of something I was gonna say, but I forgot it. Who cares?
Who cares?
I feel like I had a conversation with you long ago. Maybe it was on my podcast. Maybe What a Time to Be Alive, about like when someone, like you said, when people paid. When people like got a babysitter.
Yeah.
Yes, I say this all the time.
Yeah.
Got a babysitter is like my tagline for when somebody's phoning it in at a $40 show.
Yeah, fuck off.
You owe them a show.
Yes.
You don't like, I feel like in that, you know, obviously if it's going well and you feel like you can try new stuff, absolutely. But like, this isn't for you. This is for them.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, it's also for you.
Yes.
Don't
if you're lucky, it's also
that's
for you.
That's crazy to pitch a fit on stage because it's not going well.
Privileged life you lead. Yeah. You are getting paid to talk into a microphone. It isn't that hard.
Yeah.
I have a joke where I say, I'm a girl comedian is my job and it's a hard job, but not as hard as any of the things you people do.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you work at a pharmacy and you spend money to come here.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, my job's not that hard, it turns out.
Yeah, right. You're an entitled, and it's always men who do this. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I've seen a woman do it every once in a while, and I'm like, diva. But mostly I'm like, oh, you are a horrible white man.
Yeah.
Who just is like, fuck you, you guys couldn't even understand. I'm like, because it's not a coherent sentence with a punchline.
Yeah,
that is what's happening here.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Not that it's above them, it's that you're not good at this.
Yeah. Well, while we're angry about stuff, we might as well get into some respectfully segments.
Sure.
I can go first if you want, and then we can go around the table.
Yeah.
I have a fresh one that I feel very passionately about.
Go.
Okay, here we go. Respectfully, leaving a concert before the last two songs to beat traffic makes you a fucking loser.
Wow.
Okay? You're a loser, and I think that sucks. All right? And I'm talking about a concert where you have to push by other people to get out.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I paid all this money just to hear that song, and you're ruining my experience because you want to beat traffic? How boring are you that you have to go to bed a half hour earlier? Have fun for once in your fucking life and listen to them play the hits. I don't like calling people posers, okay? Because I think everybody is kind of a poser and it's okay to be one, but you're a poser and I hate that. I just went to Riot Fest, best music festival I've ever been to.
I'm so
one
jealous.
Of the, the best 3 days of my life. It was fucking amazing. I was seeing Green Day, a band that I thought that I might never, was my first concert ever.
Aww.
And I was 8 years old, and I thought I might never be able to see them again in my life because when they came to New York, the tickets were too expensive for me to buy one.
Yeah.
But I got to go to this music festival, and I got to see this band that means so much to me, and fuck you if you think that's a corny band to mean a lot to you because it's sick.
Yeah.
This band that means so much to, like, my inner child, right?
Yeah.
And I'm one of these people who has, like, a borderline spiritual experience when I am at a live music event, and I only said borderline to make it more relatable to people who don't feel that way, but actually it's, like, so important to my emotional well-being to have this experience.
Yeah.
And you're shoving past me to beat traffic?
Yeah.
That is the lamest thing I could possibly imagine, yeah. Dude. Sit in traffic and talk about the show. That's so crazy and weird to me to be like, I spent all day here, but I'm going to leave.
At a concert with a group that has such a cultish,
right?
Like, following.
It was
also,
like,
the last two songs are gonna be like the big songs. Yeah.
It's gonna be Time of Your Life.
Yeah.
Oh, I did learn something horrible about myself.
Uh-huh.
Every time I hear Time of Your Life by Green Day, I'm gonna cry. Yeah. Isn't that the most embarrassing thing to admit about oneself?
Hey.
Oh my God.
I cry to, like, every song. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I feel like I cry at real corny shit. Yeah. I think you're fine.
I'm crying and you're pushing by me to get to your car first.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah. That sucks. I was standing in a place. You know how sometimes when you're standing in a crowd, an alley just kind of happens to open?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was standing in a place where, like, the people in front of me
you
crowd
surfed. Stream of leaving.
So I got the stream of leaving. So I'm trying to have this important, memorable experience. And the whole time I'm having to navigate your way through the crowd so that you can get back to your hotel faster.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you're gross. Yeah. That's gross, dude. That's gross. And you're a loser.
You also like pop punk. You like music that has, like, roots in a lot of, like, social consciousness.
Yes, right.
So I think it's much worse with that type of music.
Yeah, we're not at a Bon Jovi show.
That's
dog.
What I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah,
you're not in an arena.
If you're in an arena where there's seating and everyone's standing, but there's an aisle, get out of here.
Yeah.
Totally get out of here. I couldn't care less. Maybe you're standing in front of me and you're tall. That's even better.
Yeah.
But if you're at a show like this,
yeah,
where people fought to get to the front and they're having, like, they were like, oh my God, I've been waiting. I never thought I'd get to see this. And you're like, nah, I'm gonna call it.
Excuse me.
The fuck out of here. Yeah. Get out.
And
well,
also,
stay is my point.
Yeah.
But get the fuck out of this scene, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you don't belong here.
Also, like, if you're, because we're saying, if you're at, like, a big stadium show, fine. If you're at a smaller show, traffic's not going to be that bad.
It's not going to be that bad.
It'll be fine.
True.
Like, also,
it's $20 more for an Uber. Just buy one less drink.
Yes. There are worse things in life than traffic.
Yeah.
You can sit in traffic and you're going to be okay, dude.
Yeah. This is
you're
aging be fine. Punk stuff, I think.
Yeah. Well, like, I just don't. I think it's so. It really did, like, kind of sour this, like, moment
that
for me
sucks.
In a way that I wish it hadn't, because I was trying so hard to not let it get to me. But the thing is, like, some of these people are, like, shoving me.
Yeah.
You're gonna shove me to get to your car while Green Day is playing Time of Your Life? You're sick.
The anonymousness that people think they have in concert behavior makes me want to bring a fake gun and be like, push me one more time.
Yeah. And I really don't believe in people who are, like, mosh pit cops. Like, I don't like people who are like, you're moshing wrong and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there are some things where it's like, well, we do have to, that's not allowed.
You can't just, like, walk around punching people.
And
that's not moshing.
And you can't shove me because you want to leave.
Yeah.
If you're shoving me because you're in the mosh pit, I'm open to getting shoved.
That's part of it.
That's part of it. We're all having fun. We're connecting. But if you're shoving me to go, you're shoving me. You're shoving a woman.
That is like shoving someone on the street.
Yes, it's the same exact. Yeah, totally. And the person next to me was being so gracious and, like, guiding everyone out and being so nice. And I was like, man, I wish I was you, but I'm fucking not.
Yeah.
I hate this.
You need the two wolves of that situation. You need the person who's ready to fight, and you need the person to be like, let's just.
And you need me who's gonna stand and block you from leaving until this song's over, because I'm not doing it anymore.
Stay and watch.
Yes.
Like, holding them by the shoulders.
Trying to make your life beautiful.
Connect with something.
Yeah.
Connect with something other than going to sleep before 11.
Yeah.
Please, I'm begging you. I have thoughts about how this is related to the rise of conservatism in America, but I don't need to get into
lack
that.
Lack of community.
Yeah.
And also the idea that it's cool to go to bed early.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of, like, the reason I thought of this is because I see people online saying this, like, it's a cool hack.
Right.
Like, it's cool. It's actually cool to leave before the last song because that song is like a hit and I like the other ones and I don't need to see it and I'm going to get home before you guys.
Put on my sleep mask.
Since right. when is
so
that?
I can get up at 5 and go to the gym. Yeah. Here's, yeah. my life.
Here's the thing. Do it. Don't expect me to think you're cool for it.
Yeah.
Insane. That is not cool. It's, what's cool is being late to work the next morning because you yes. saw a sick show.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Absolutely. And having sex with someone where you're like, whoops, maybe not that
yes,
one. But oh,
because yay. He has liberty spikes yeah. and you've never done that before. yeah. That's cool.
That, yeah. yeah. The fact that like people don't fuck anymore is really
it's disheartening.
Fucking idiot. Yeah. It's fine.
And
it's
this is
fun.
To me, this is the emotional equivalent of not fucking anymore.
Yes.
like, yes.
Not staying for
Take
the last
chance.
Song. Take yeah. a chance. I mean, just go to bed late. Who cares?
There's antibiotics like, for things.
Capitalism right. is ruining your life.
You're free.
If you're leaving the concert early so you're not late to work tomorrow, you are a slave to capitalism. Yeah. You're ruining Absolutely. You're not gonna get fired for being late once.
Speak on it.
And take the concert wristband off and say you were sick. You yeah. know what right. I mean? Like lie to your boss. Be cool for once.
What's the worst that's gonna happen is you're gonna feel bad for 8 hours and then you're gonna come home from work and go to sleep.
And
it's
also
fine.
The one song's not gonna make a difference in that. You're yeah. already gonna feel bad.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're already gonna feel bad. The last two songs, whatever, one of them was Jesus of Suburbia, which is 9 minutes long. But that's not gonna make a big difference. Yeah. Okay? It's gonna be fine. And you're missing an opportunity to witness something incredible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. there was this person next to me who was a trans girl. I'm not clocking her. Her shirt said the T-slur. And so I hope to God she was, honestly.
Or else the kind of the worst person.
Or else right. we should have beat the shit yeah. out of her. But yeah. I'm pretty sure that she earned it. So she was standing next to me, and Green Day has a song called Bobby Socks. That's like, the first verse is like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And then the second verse is, do you want to be my boyfriend? And before they sing the song, they say like, this is a song for the LGBTQ people here. Like, we love you. We see you. You're safe here. And this girl who was having such a great time, like you could tell this is like one of her favorite bands.
Yeah.
She was like having the same experience I was. We were both having like an emotional connected experience to this band. And we looked at each other and like sang the song together.
Aww.
And then she crowd surfed to the front during that Aww. Song, weeping. I'm weeping.
Yeah.
I'm weeping.
Yeah.
And you're going to miss that to yeah. beat traffic?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're robbing yourself of community.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
I had a similar experience, and it's very different because I went to see Nine Inch Nails, which is not as punk rock and community oriented just because they're simply such a famous yeah. band. Mm-hmm. And it was at Atlantic Barclays. Like, it's not this concert.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. But like, I've seen Idols. I've been at this concert. I love this concert.
Yeah.
I also am like, I gotta see Nine Inch Nails before one of them dies because all of yeah. our rock stars are dying.
They're getting old.
But there was a moment during Hand That Feeds Bow down before
oh,
the
yeah,
one
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
serve. You're gonna get what you did. And it was like almost as if the whole room was like marching
yeah.
in a way that's like Nazi coded, but in the good guy way. You know what yeah. I mean? Where we were all like, fuck
yeah.
Like thinking Could about ICE and being like, oh, one day.
Yeah.
And it was just this very like, yeah, these are aging punks, but it's still in them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there was a catharsis of people being like, we're in a very wrong and scary time right now, but this singer is being like, I am still angry. Your anger is justified.
Yeah.
Like, it was very moving.
Yeah.
And luckily, there's like the rows
the
and
aisles,
whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, don't leave. Stay
Don't
to
leave.
Like salute.
Yeah.
Well, that's the like this festival was so oriented around like fuck ICE, protect trans people,
yeah.
and like fuck fascism, free Palestine.
Yeah.
Like that
and it
was
is
like
a DIY rooted
yes.
festival.
Yeah.
So it is like
yeah.
It's not a regular Green Day concert even.
Right.
It's like part of this bigger thing.
It's part of a bigger thing. And like I saw Idols there, by the way, one of the greatest live bands of all time. If
oh
you get a chance
God.
To see Idols, holy fuck,
yeah.
go to that show.
Yeah.
But they have a song called The Wheel where there's a lyric over and over again that they say, can I get a hallelujah? But when they do it live, instead they say, Viva Palestina.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in a crowd of thousands of people screaming that
yeah.
is... I can't imagine when you leave early, it feels like you're rejecting that.
Yeah.
yeah.
It feels like you're rejecting that sentiment. And that I can't imagine that because that was such a powerful experience for
yeah.
me to have. when I exist in a world online where I'm going, how can people not think the way I do? Yeah, how do so many people not think the way I do? This feels so obvious to me. Where are the people who think the way I do? And then you go to this and you're like, oh, here they are.
Yeah.
Here they are, and they're fucking mad. Yeah. And they agree with me and they're being loud about it. And nobody, there's no sense of, when I say stuff like that on stage, it's, there is a sense that some people in the room don't agree and everyone feels uncomfortable.
Which is crazy.
There's, you have to like convince them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's none of that here.
Yeah.
You can scream it and everybody puts their hands up and cheers because they fucking agree with you.
Yeah.
And to reject that to be traffic. Yeah. I know I keep saying it, but like, what are you, a Republican? Yeah. Fuck you, dude. That sucks. Yeah.
And kind of. There wasn't a version of this. I went to an LCD Sound System concert right after concert. I'm so old. I went to a hip hop concert. wink. And there was, LCD Sound System is one of these bands where there's people enjoy it in the right way and the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because LCD Sound System is dancey and electronic music, and I'm an OG electronic music person, but the douche sub strain that has come out of it, like EDM and like,
there's a fratty contingent in LCD Sound System, totally, for sure,
and they think they're so smart.
It's like all the sensitive guys in the frat.
And by the way, they think they're so smart.
It's going right over your head, girly pop.
Yeah.
You're completely missing if you listen to the lyrics of LCD. It's like a song about his friend who died, and they're all like on Molly. Like, and I'm like, oh, you're so wrong. But fine, you pay for the ticket too. But there was a frat guy in the mosh pit area who was hitting everybody and being shitty to his girlfriend and drunk in a way. You know when shitty white men are drunk in a way where you're like, you might actually do something really scary.
Yeah.
And everyone around you is trying to like figure out how to be to like neutralize you.
Yeah.
And I kept like looking at his friends being like, deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a woman. She's a woman. She's smaller than him. He's being very fucking scary with her.
Yeah.
And none of them stepped up.
Of course.
Of course. And this was like early on me and my husband dating. And I'm like, oh, my husband's about to see, or my boyfriend then, like what kind of person I was. And I fucking shoved this guy because I'm like, if I shove you, there's not a huge chance you're going to hit me because I'm a woman and I'm doing the math and I simply cannot be having this moment seeing LCD Sound System with you being on coke and and fucked up towards me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I shoved him. His boys looked at me like, thank you. And I was like, yeah, of course I did it. Fuck you. And then he was about to get in my face and they were like, yo, calm down. Because if he gets in my face, then he's fighting a woman. Then they actually get kicked out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, men are cowards. Right. Because men are cowards.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, I was nervous, but I was also ready to punch this guy on your behalf.
We were just talking about this on TikTok. They're like, men don't do anything.
Never.
I got shoved in a grocery store by a fleeing shoplifter like last week.
Yeah.
And there was a dude right behind me. Did nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't even acknowledge. Didn't say. It's not like I wanted him to fight the guy, but he didn't. He wasn't even like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah.
Like just ignored it.
And
never
this is
once.
Don't do shit.
This is the thing that makes me feel so connected to the punk and hardcore scene, because those are guys who are waiting to do something.
They want
to
do it.
They so badly. They like. They're almost hoping somebody in the audience, somebody in the mosh pit is a Nazi so that they can kick his face in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They want
like
it.
They're so ready to pick me up off the ground and ask me who pushed me.
Ugh.
And I feel like I am so drawn to that because it's not happening in real life anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Because men are not defend, like, the one fucking thing you guys were good for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're
the one thing you were good for
stronger.
Was protecting us, and you're being cowards about it and filming it on your phone.
Right.
But then I get to go to this show where like men are running and slamming their heads into each other and then going, are you okay?
Right.
Yeah. And I like
in the
that.
Service of something good, not in the service of male ego or like puffing up the chest. It's not like a bar fight. It's like, that's a Nazi.
Yeah.
I want to fucking beat him up.
Yes.
It's great.
And my grandfather beat up Nazis, and if push comes to shove, I will also beat up a Nazi.
So my point is, you're missing out on all of this if you leave the concert early,
totally.
And I think you're dumb and lame and a poser, and I don't want to be your friend. Okay. Does anyone else have one?
I want to hear your take.
Okay. My take is, if you are, respectfully,
thank you.
If you are making a movie for adults and you want people, like a serious movie, and there is male nudity in it, show the dick.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not, I cannot take take you seriously if you're not going to show. That is not a movie for. That's not real shit.
Yes.
Show the dick.
Yes. Show the dick.
Show the dick.
You're showing tits but not dick?
Yes.
That, I mean, if you're showing tits and it's relatively gratuitous, you gotta show dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a fake dick. I don't care if it's a dick double. Yes. There should be male full frontal nudity in your movie.
Yes.
If it is like. I'm not like mad that Conclave didn't have dick in it or whatever, right. But like if there is male nudity in the movie and you want me to take it seriously, show dick.
Yeah. This also speaks to like we were kind of talking about the like rise of purity culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like there are people online saying there like shouldn't be sex scenes in movies. And it's like, I absolutely need you to chill out.
Yeah.
I absolutely need you to fucking like. There's sex in real life.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you. In real life, there's sex.
Yes.
And you don't have to have it. And you can turn the movie off.
Yeah.
If you don't like sex, you can turn the movie off. You don't have to have it. But I have sex in real life. And I like sex in my movies.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
And also, like, I feel like people, they act like it's for titillation or whatever. And it's like, how people have sex in a movie tells you something about those people and 100%.
About
something about
those people.
It's not just gratuitous. It's not just like for porn reasons. Sometimes it's also hot, and that's also totally valid.
And that's cool.
It's great. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. A hot sex scene is amazing, but like it's not just. It's not like it's something that breaks into the movie randomly get people's dicks hard or whatever.
Yeah,
it's part of the story.
It's part of the story, and like if. There comes a point in your life when if you are a person who is easily triggered by a lot of things, you do need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
We can't all not ever watch sex again.
Yeah.
You need to turn the movie off.
Right.
And well, that's okay if you need to turn the movie off, but you need to turn the movie off.
I also like, even when it's not a sex scene, say it's, I think, is it in Serpico? There's like an old school gangster movie, and maybe it's Serpico, but it's a... the actor walking around his house naked and you see the dick.
Great.
And I'm like, yeah, men walk around their house naked. I walk around my house naked. And I'm like, okay, we're learning that this guy is kind of like liberal and not weird about nudity. Like it is adding texture to the character that you see him like holding a coffee, walking around his house naked. Also, I want to see actors are hot. I want to see the penis.
Yes.
I want
to
see penis. Yes. Also, there's something so like mystifying about getting to see a soft penis that you're not in relationship with.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's you're not in council with.
Yeah.
It is rare to see them.
It's rare.
Not like someone who's your like partner and like cause
or
like,
someone who's scaring you.
Right.
Like, right.
Those are the only ways we get to see them.
Yeah.
I want to see one on TV in the comfort of my own home. And it's a stranger?
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah. It's awesome. It's so good. And like Serpico is a perfect example too of like, not only are there not sex scenes in movies anymore or like people hate it. It's like, I want to see people sweaty.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to see
people fuck.
I want like body hair. I want weird teeth.
Yeah.
I want like human beings.
Yeah.
Which I know this is like, I'm not the first person to say that, but like, it's just so sterile.
Yeah.
I don't stop doing steroids and shit. I want to see
it's not a sitcom.
A real guy with a soft dick walking around.
That's like there's a comedian named Josh Sharp who made an incredible movie with his comedy partner who I believe his name is Aaron Jackson. Sorry if I got your last name wrong, but you're not listening. you guys are really cool and successful and you're not listening. But they made a movie called Dicks the Musical, which is incredible and everyone should watch it. But there's a sex scene in it. And spoiler, it's the two of them having sex. And that's a spoiler because they do play identical twins. But they filmed the sex scene on the last day of shooting because they were like, we want to be able to get hurt because it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And so they were like, we want to go so full in on this that if I sprain my ankle doing this, it doesn't ruin the next month of shooting.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's how you film a fucking sex scene.
Yeah, man.
That is how you film. All they had was like a little cover on their dicks because they had to. They were told they had to. But like butts out, standing 69, like amazing comical, like physical comedy sex.
Yeah.
And to go so hard that you're like, we might break a rib is amazing.
Yeah,
that's
totally
what I want. Film it on the last day and go for it.
Yeah.
Really go for it. And like, again, like with the, obviously do it with everyone feeling safe and comfortable and all that. I don't want like actual surprise unsimulated funny or whatever, but like there, if you're, And if you're like an actor who doesn't want to do it, don't do the movie.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that, if you're going to make a movie like that, get people who are willing to fucking go there. And there are plenty of actors yes. who are willing yeah. to fucking go there.
Yeah.
And think that is fun and cool and want. So yep. like, yeah, just don't, I don't want to see the sheet up here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see, I want to see like one tit out. Like
yeah. normal
style. Have it be a mess a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also just so much internalized and externalized homophobia. That's why they're not showing the dick.
Yeah.
Because if a man who has any sort of weird thing going on internally sees the dick, they're like, take the dick away. I don't because I feel certain.
Well, there's also puritanical censorship rules.
Yeah.
One of them being hard dick in movie is porn.
Yes. Yeah. You can't show a hard.
You can't show
all.
Hard dick.
Yeah.
But show me soft dick.
We'd love to see soft dick.
Show me soft dick.
Bring
so you
soft
can't show
dick.
Me hard dick. I don't even hard dick a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aggressive.
Arguably a little too much.
Hard dick. Look at me right in the eye.
Yeah.
You know. Soft right. dick. Oh, hey.
I also feel like soft dick. It's like because I feel like a lot of actors don't want to show it because people have a lot of opinions about what dicks look like.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you always got plausible deniability if it's soft. It's
say
like
it's
it
fake.
Gets a lot
yes.
bigger.
Or say it's a prosthetic.
Or say it's fake. Yeah.
Do your real dick and say it's a fake one.
That I feel like people are doing that and I respect mm-hmm. it
because
I feel
that.
Like there's a lot of I can't remember what I watched something recently with dick in it. And the guy was like, that wasn't my dick. Oh, it's, there's a ton of dick in Righteous Gemstones, which is why I was like,
really?
Respect to that show.
Yeah.
They show dick.
Yeah.
I don't think they show any boobs.
That's so
they
sick.
They show dick every episode.
Love that.
That's so sick.
And it's, they show like old man dick.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's Walton Goggins who's playing.
Whoa.
He's
wow.
playing,
you just made me watch that
yeah.
show.
Well, the thing is, he says it's not a real dick. And I actually do kind of believe it because he's playing a character who's much older than he is.
Mm.
And it does look like an old person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, yeah, just, I don't know. I feel like there are people saying that's a prosthetic where I'm like, I think that was real.
And
you
that's
just
okay.
don't want people to know.
Exciting thing to talk about.
It's fun.
Think of it as real peace.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well,
show peace.
Show peace.
Pam and Tom and Pammy. God. Pam and Tommy.
Jim and Pam. There
Jim
was
and
Dick.
Pam and Tommy. There. I mean, people.
Do
think
they show dick in that in the show with Sebastian Stan?
A lot of dick in that show, and it's fake dick because it's. If it's real
humongous,
dick,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
You see his real dick in one of my favorite movies of that year, of like 2 years ago or last year, was A Different Man, which he's in.
Okay, I didn't see
that. It's so good and funny and like kind of mean. And
yeah,
it's
cool.
Great. But when I was like, they're about this is when he shows his soft dick.
Let's
and I
was go.
Like, this you've, is my favorite movie of the year. Bumped it up.
You've entered a new category for
yes.
me, buddy.
Yep.
But like so much of the lore of Tommy is that he has a huge
big piece.
Dick.
Yeah.
Like the whole world knew that. The
yeah.
sex tape, it was all about that. So much of his identity is about having
yeah.
a huge dick. And
totally.
I'm like, if you're going to make a movie about that
you
guy,
have to show it.
We got to have
we
a
gotta
lot
see
of peace and we got to be talking about the dick.
Yeah.
The first time they have sex is like, it's. I love it. It's so they're playing hurdy-gurdy. Fuck, I can't remember
ooh,
the name.
Yeah, hurdy-gurdy
yeah,
man?
Yeah, hurdy-gurdy yeah. man. And like they're fucking in a way where it's like it's first time fucking, so it's like deeply
yeah.
like animalistic
and, yeah.
and horny, but also they're like in love in a
love
really like
bombing first
personality
time
disorder
oh!
way. And I'm like, I've never seen a sex scene
yeah.
where I've seen both of these things being expressed so well, and they're both so hot.
Yeah.
And you express that emotion through showing sex.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not yep. gratuitous.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not slamming against a wall. It's like being in a weird angle at a bathtub, but being
yeah.
like, fuck it, if I hurt myself, I don't care.
yeah. Well, this, my favorite movie of all time is Boogie Nights. Which
yeah.
is
I was thinking
a movie
about Boogie
about
Nights this
big
whole
dick.
Time.
Yeah. Favorite movie of all time. And the way they handle that is so great that like, it's the last scene of the movie.
Oh, God.
And
a reveal.
And he's talking to it. It's
yeah.
so good.
Also, like, by the way, I watched Boogie Nights for the first time being like, hey, I'm in a really bad place. I actually just kind of need to watch a fun movie.
Ooh.
Not knowing what
yeah.
Boogie Nights was.
Ruh-roh. It's one fun of, for like 2/3 of it.
Yeah.
And then it's...
until that guy shoots himself at a New Year's party.
I was like really in a bad place mentally. And I'm like, well, now I have to go to a psych ward.
Oh, rough.
But what an excellent movie. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I love
showpiece.
Boogie Nights.
Show
absolutely,
piece.
Andrea, you got one.
I think we've got plenty.
Yeah,
well,
we're good.
I got a list.
Save it.
We'll get to
save
it.
Her.
Save it. What a fucking delight. I love that we finally got you on Wax.
Yeah, this was so great. Fantastic. What a wonderful conversation.
Thanks for doing this.
Tell the people what you want them to find.
Plug.
So I do stand up in New York City. So if you live here, follow me on Blue Sky and Instagram and TikTok. Kath Barbadoro on everything. Kath _ Barbadoro on TikTok. I locked myself out of the
Relatable.
And I have two podcasts. One of them is called What a Time to Be Alive, which I do every Monday. It's about goofy, funny news stories. And then my other one is called Lie, Cheat, and Steal, which is a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. So we do scam stories.
Awesome.
We just put one out about Rod Blagojevich that is very fun. So
I'm going to tune into that. I love scammers.
Yeah. If you came here from my other podcast, which is True Crime Adjacent, you'll love that podcast. So check it out.
This whole table is covering a big range of things. Yeah. Lizzie, what about you?
Follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy. Come to my show every Wednesday in New York at The Gutter at 9. That's it. Listen to my other podcast.
Close Calls.
Yeah.
And Andrea Comedy 69 across all boards. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.